I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Guten Tag, mine mates. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Germany are back in business, but Spain is still struggling. It's Sunday, 20th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Who wrote off the Germans?
Someone did.
Someone in this room wrote off the Germans. Which one of you?
Was it me?
Really?
Was it? Not me.
No, I think it was me.
Yeah, I think it was you, Jim.
I don't know.
You can't do it. Can you? You see what happens. They produce possibly a performance that was fitting for the game of the tournament, one might argue.
Yeah. Do you think these huge performances very much have a lot to do with the opposition not really turning up? Because I don't know.
They did. I mean, they did score a lovely breakaway goal.
They did. Yeah. They went 1-0 up. I know what you mean, though. I expected a bit more from Portugal. It was just like when Germany, I think when Germany got it back to 2-1, the narrative takes over, doesn't it? Even Ronaldo's going, oh, fucking Germany. Who wrote them off?
Apparently that was the first goal he'd ever scored against Germany.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm so tired. I just need a drink with sugar in it. Ah! Help! Oh, what a match it was.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
What a...
This group is delivering, isn't it? It's brilliant.
The group of life, Jim.
It is.
There's no death here.
It could be a cagey affair, but no, it's been great.
Yeah, six ruddy goals.
I just think with this, but with Portugal, and I cannot help bring it back, they were just too Narrow. Stop being narrow. And every defender had a shiter. There was not a single defender that didn't have a shiter.
Two of them scored.
I know.
It's a bit wrong.
Yeah.
They scored wrong.
Shiters.
Big tournament for OG, isn't it?
Are they, is shiters all around.
I don't know. Miss pens and own goals.
Yeah.
The Euro 2020 story.
Which makes it sound like it would be rubbish, but actually it's been really entertaining.
We want that. Yeah, exactly. We want all of that.
We want all the drama.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So you're saying Portugal too narrow. Are you thinking it's time for Ronaldo to go back out wide?
I think it is, yeah. No, narrow in defence. They were very, very narrow. But they just looked like a team who didn't trust themselves enough to defend, and they didn't trust themselves enough to attack. They were just like, they were caught between two bus stops, Marcus.
Once again. And that is the last place you want to be. Well, perhaps they were pinned back by Germany, because Yogi Löw said that he wanted his side to be more vigorous in attack, and they were, Jim. You can't deny the wing back. Robert Earnshaw and the ITV highlights with that magnificent jacket, looking like a sort of, I don't know, some sort of, there should be a painting of him sitting on a horse somewhere in a museum with that kind of jacket on. But he was very impressed with the wingbacks that Germany utilised very, very well. And Robin Gosens was man of the match.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think it was an all-round display from Germany, though, wasn't it? Which is what they needed.
That opener that should have been that kind of improvised kind of volley was fantastic.
Well,
was very annoyed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's, yeah, bloody VAR getting in the way of a good time.
See, this is the thing with VAR, though, isn't it? Even when it gets it right, you're like, oh, but I like goals.
Yeah. I like that kind of goal.
It is a bit frustrating. I mean, it's straight from the off, though. Germany were in there. I mean, Havertz went in on Pepe quite early on. And
smart move. I mean, brave move.
Well, he learned from Lyndon Dykes.
Yeah.
As all the top strikers in Europe probably do now. Mm. But
still, I think painful, Marcus. Please don't be
a painful draw. Mm. Matt Hummels also put one in on Cristiano Ronaldo. This was in the first 10 minutes. Steve Clark intensity that Yogi Love thought, I'm having a bit of that.
I think, you know, even a written off Germany is still a Germany full of
So you wrote them
stars.
Off, did you?
I'm not saying I wrote them
you
off.
You know who
sounds like someone had a pen in this room. And I'm not going to leave until we find out.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you think Portugal underestimated them maybe, or is that just a narrative we sort of transpose onto it afterwards? Were Germany just better?
If you underestimate the Germans, that's what happens. I'm not sure. I think that Germany, they had to win this game. They lost to France. They're suddenly playing against Portugal, the holders, who have got phenomenal attacking talent, as we know. Mm-hmm. And they had to go for it. And straight off from the off, as I say, for those two early challenges, boom, straight in there. And they got the home advantage as well, which has a little bit of a help.
If Portugal hadn't scored first, would you say that they...
I don't think that deterred much of the performance, though.
You reckon?
Well, because it just Germany were a bit like, right, well, same job.
Yeah.
and went about it. And as I say, you say about Portugal, you know, having a bit of a narrow defence or whatever. Well, Germany, as I say, with the wingback, it's push them, pin them back. Mm. And if we do that, it should work. And my goodness, it did. You can't deny. I mean, look at the result, for crying out loud. I mean, Dias, Robert Dias, putting in his own guy. I mean, I should say, we're bringing a tweet from Fox Danger, who said, Pete's ruined Ruben Dias for me. Ever since he claimed his name was Portuguese for Robert Dias, it's all I've been able to think about when he plays. 90 minutes of mid-range home electrical products and garden furniture.
Well, where else are you going to get a Rawson 30-piece tool set for $19.49?
I
checked the website.
Answering that question. Mm. I feel like Portugal-France could well be a draw. Mm. Just because, obviously, they're two very, very good teams who'll be going out not to lose. And you think, like, Germany might actually win this group.
I tell you what's going to happen here, Jim. England are going to all that sort of chat about, oh, you're going to play second in Group F. It could be one of the big boys. Maybe we prefer second in Group C. Hungary will beat Germany, finish second, and Spain will finish second in Group C.
Yeah. Oh, and England-Spain will be so bad, they will stop football after it.
but this game, though, it was just the tonic as well. I mean, that breakaway goal from Portugal was brilliant, and it was a real sucker punch to Germany, but it didn't seem to deter Germany that much. And Robin Gosens, he was fantastic, as we say. Thomas Müller said to him after the game, no wonder you only run for 60 minutes, you play in Italy. It's kind of like, I don't quite know. Yeah. You know, I think he does play for Atalanta.
Needs a bit of honing, doesn't it?
Doesn't he famously have one leg longer than the other?
Oh, yes. That's
great for cutting in. Like a lemming.
Doing the chop.
Yeah.
That's why, because he wanted to be, I think it was on the BBC, they said he wanted to be a policeman. And they were like, no, you're...
Your legs chortling.
You're not good enough for the police. Okay, then. I'll go and be a professional.
I've solved 15 murders. Legs.
Yeah,
legs, weird. Mate.
I don't know, Jim. It's one for the German police to have a real look at themselves on that one, I think. You'll agree. Did you see that it was, I think it was in The Guardian, they said that apparently Gusens asked Cristiano Ronaldo for his shirt a few months ago and it didn't go very well. In his book, Dreaming is Worth It, he wrote, "After the final whistle, I went to him, having not even gone public to celebrate. But Ronaldo did not accept. He didn't even look at me. He just said, no! I was completely ashamed."
Yeah. I think in the next batch, there'll be an edit to that that somebody says, "Needless to say." They had the last laugh.
Yeah, very, very good indeed, yeah. So, Diaz scored an own goal. It wasn't the only own goal, of course. Nice to see Kai Havertz scoring.
Yeah.
Jim?
Very much so, because I think he's been a bit underestimated, actually, hasn't he? I think because, obviously, you know, he took a little while to settle at Chelsea and we started to see the best of him towards the end of the season.
He always looks so
the
apologetic.
Champions League final, obviously. Yeah.
Well, quite, yeah. He always looks like quite apologetic when he scores. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry about that.
Do you think VAR's got into his head a bit much?
Maybe
a bit too much.
I think there is a little bit of that across the board, isn't there, which is a shame. It's exactly what we didn't want, but there we are.
Didn't see that at Hungary, though.
No.
So I think sometimes you kind of know. It's
yeah.
You know, I find myself watching it when England are playing, I think, there was a moment in the game the other day where I thought, I think Sterling was offside there. I think it's best if we get a corner. Because that can't be taken away from us, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. God. Bloody hell. That is bleak.
Please don't score. Hit it off a defender and get a corner.
But yeah, I think Havertz has maybe been a little bit underestimated as a big threat going into this tournament, because obviously when he was playing for, you know, the company 11 in Leverkusen, he you know, huge, huge potential. Everyone was really, really excited about him. Moves to Chelsea, has a great season. Obviously, you say stars in the Champions League final, but like people aren't talking about him in the glowing terms that they once were, which shows you how quickly reputations change in football. So I think people have perhaps forgotten what a threat he is.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Well, we should say about Cristiano Ronaldo, by the way, that he's now level with Miroslav Klose with 19 goals in major tournaments. Just he loves it, doesn't he?
That'll make him content.
Although, I mean, he's overtaken Platini, isn't he, as the all-time top scorer in the Euros. Platini got 9, but that was in one tournament. Mm. So you do...
Yeah.
He'll be trying to get 10 in this tournament.
And you wouldn't put it past him. But more importantly, though, he's become the first person to reach 300 million Instagram followers this week.
Wow. That's the real quiz.
That's the big prize. Mm. That is the big prize. Portugal, they now have a task on their hands. You know, after winning 3-0 against Hungary, you think, okay... There's a lot of chat, isn't there, that 4 points is going to be good enough. Mm. But I mean, I haven't really kind of studied the groups.
I don't know how it all works.
Because not everybody...
It's quite hard to go out.
Yeah. Well, 24, of course, you've got to get it down to 16. Normally you think you half it, don't you, because it's 32. Yeah. And you kind of, okay. So we're doing a lot of this just to get rid of 8 teams. But not every third place team can go through.
No.
I mean, 4 of them can.
Yeah.
So when everyone's like, oh, it's 4 points, we're all well, we can't all have.
Is it head dead before goal difference, like you said?
Within the
groups, right? Okay.
And then I can't be bothered figuring it out. Well, actually, Jonathan Wilson wrote a piece about the as you'd expect, about the tournament format, and just said, just have 32. Do you know what I mean?
No, let's not encourage this.
Well, he said he's quite adamant about the 16 tournament because it's the real cream of the crop.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was so much better, wasn't it?
But then I do agree with his point that 5 years on from the tournament in France last time round, that actually it has been good, the tournament. I don't think there's been any games where you think, they're a bit, you know, whereas perhaps
Sweden, Spain was awful.
No, but as in the teams who are here are, you know, they fit the stage.
Right,
So maybe just, you know, he didn't like this whole sort of finishing third and best teams.
Yeah, because I think the danger is people saying that, you know, oh, they don't like exactly that, and then it will just, they'll expand it further.
Yeah.
That's the likely way it will go, isn't it? And that will affect the tournament's quality.
Yeah. Well, France and Portugal will be a tasty one. Fernando Santos, a.k.a. Old Gil, took responsibility for the performance, saying, "Today is a day to cry, but we have to turn it around." Yeah. He's just, it's kind of like, I think he should watch videos of them celebrating the win last time around. And also the UEFA Nations League, lest we forget. People forgetting about that, Jim.
Yeah. Didn't he also send a message to Angela Merkel?
Yeah, he did.
But his head isn't right, is it? Do you know what I mean?
No, it was after the game to congratulate.
Well, no, exactly. Oh, so talk to your team.
Imagine that coming in the dressing room.
Ronaldo, you did what? You fucking quizzling.
Tried to ring Angela Merkel.
They walk in the dressing room, wanting the manager to pick him up. And he's just looking at his phone.
Lads, hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Merkel. Need Merkel. I need get Merkel on the phone.
Or doing a FaceTime. Like, holding a selfie pose. Congratulations. Look at our boys. They're all gutted. Look at them. Yeah. They're really good as well.
I know.
You've done well there.
My goodness.
Yeah, so, I mean, they do like to play defensively under him at times. Obviously, that was very successful in the last Euros. They do, if 4 points is the magic number to qualify, they will need something out of the France game.
Yeah.
Mm. With that counter-attack, they might be wise to kind of do a bit more of that, you know, because you can defend a bit and then hit them on the break. How about that for a tactic?
This round of games I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
It's going to be great, isn't it?
Are we getting into the business end of the group stage?
Yeah, the pre-business end.
It's actually quite early in that today we're going to have two matches at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. It's piss poor.
It is piss poor, but you know why that's in place because you've seen dead rubbers where it's just like, tight.
And it's bad enough when we lost the 2 o'clock game the other day. We're losing that and the 8 o'clock game.
Yeah, I know, right? Is anyone going to double screen it, or are you going to accept that has never once been enjoyable for anyone?
Never allow it.
I don't know. I think with a double screen, you end up not watching.
Yeah. You watch neither. Yeah. You watch the space between the screens almost.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, Germany now, you would say, are in good shakes. I mean, you would fancy them to beat Hungary, of course, mm-hmm. in their last game, but the old Hungarians got a handy point against France. Incredible scenes.
They did.
In Budapest. No doubt Andy Brassel took his top off and was swinging his shirt around his head, as we know he likes to do. But when Hungary went ahead, thanks to Attila Fiola's lovely little goal.
The way he took it behind the defence and just kind of took it away from the defenders and finished. Beautiful.
Well, it was. It's one can think, oh, well, you expect to score, but when you've got to outpace the oncoming France defence, which is quite a terrifying thing, he probably thought to himself, Mbappe's probably going to tackle me any moment now.
Yeah.
But to do that, it showed a lot of composure, of course. Lovely finish as well.
I'm not sure the unsuspecting I don't know, is she a commentator or some kind of TV?
Of the woman at the desk.
At the desk with the microphone. She's a robot, I guess. Yeah. But why was she on like a wallpapering table? She's just kind of by herself.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to choke slam someone through it like the wrestling.
Was it a hot desk? Renting office space out.
But the funny thing was, to be fair to her, when he sort of hit the desk, she looked up a little bit startled, but just sort of smiled and seemed
gave the thumbs up. Hey!
Yeah, well done. Don't worry, we can replace what you've just broken there. That's absolutely fine. But I mean, Hungary have got incredible support, it's so loud, and it has helped them, there's no doubt about that. Really sort of pushed them forward in those games. Antoine Griezmann said about that, he sort of suggested that it was strange playing in a full stadium.
Yeah,
we sort of forgotten how to do it. I don't know whether that's an excuse or is it a legitimate point. I mean,
it could be both, couldn't it? It's going to have a huge effect, right? Mm. I mean, we saw the anonymous quotes from a player doing the rounds about how actually they prefer it without fans because there's no one just calling you a wanker for 90 minutes. So, I mean, there's lots of different reasons why.
Depends which team you play for.
Yeah. Let's assume he's a West Ham player. if you've not done something for that long, it's gonna hit you, isn't it? It's going to be a bit different. I love Griezmann, though, or Griezmann. His defensive work for France really goes unnoticed. He does what Kane does and gets criticised for, obviously, which is dropping back a lot and really, really helping out. But, like, he's properly getting almost like supporting N'Golo Kante at times, which is quite amazing.
But his role is very different to Kane's, though, because, Mbappe's the one to stretch the forwards, and obviously Benzema's up there as well. So, I mean, there's clearly a greater understanding. He took his goal nicely. It was a bit of a gift.
He's a sexy wiggle after.
He did have a little wiggle.
Sexy little wiggle.
Did you like the wiggle? Do you know who else did a wiggle? I forgot to mention at the
best
time.
Best Newcastle manager ever.
North Macedonian striker.
Right. Pandev.
Yeah, when he sort of did a knee slide. He did a little
shimmy.
Sort of nipple shake, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which was very enjoyable.
He's got the tassels on underneath.
One can only assume, Jim.
Yeah.
There were quite extraordinary scenes at the end of the game with the Hungary players kind of sort of celebrating in front of their fans.
Mm.
And then, did they sing the national anthem and there were sort of hands on hearts and so on? And I did think to myself, knowing the sort of lie of the land there at the moment politically, I was a bit like, this might be boiling into going into.
You're encouraging a certain element.
Yes.
Hungary is very much Britain taking to its, like, where we're going, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is
strong man
thing,
in charge. people doing protests about kneeling before.
Difference is though, Viktor Orban is actually meant to be all right at football, whereas we've seen Boris on the football pitch.
Boris doesn't like football. That's the difference, isn't it?
He likes playing rugby,
even while playing football.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, this is the, as you say, this is the danger, isn't it? Like we call this stuff out a lot, but yeah, there are pretty much neo-Nazi groups at the game yesterday, and it is, and they're protesting the knee, and this is why it's important to keep.
I mean, it goes way deeper.
I mean, the water around with banners saying brotherhood. I mean, brotherhood is not a word that just ever should be used anywhere, really.
Yeah.
But in the Allianz Arena next week, they're going to be, or this week, they're going to have the rainbow flag lit up on the side of the stadium. So have a bit of that.
Yeah, that'll be one in the eye for certain sections of the fans. But I mean, you know, a great performance from Hungary nonetheless, and they'll be, you know, delighted with the point. They're still alive and they go to Germany. It's a tall order now for them. But I mean, Germany could win the group.
They could.
And all this sort of chat of, as I say, well, you want to avoid Portugal or France. It'd be very, very interesting indeed. Nice to see Giroud, though, get onto the pitch,
yeah,
Jim.
Absolutely.
Always nice to see him. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm quite a placid guy.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, then, let's see how we got on in Betway's Four to Score. Across the Euros this summer, there's £250,000 up for grabs across five rounds of Four to Score, and it's completely free to play. Just pick the first goal scorer in each of Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win £50,000 each round. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, and further T's and C's apply. In Game 1, it was England versus Scotland. Of course, on Friday, Kate picked Mason Mount. The result was no goal scorer. Game 2, Hungary versus France on Saturday afternoon. Jim picked Kylian Mbappe. The result was Attila Fiola. Game 3, Portugal versus Germany on Saturday afternoon. Andy picked Cristiano Ronaldo. It was Cristiano Ronaldo. And Game 4, Spain versus Poland on Saturday evening. Luke picked Robert Lewandowski. Of course, he scored, but it wasn't the first goal. Alvaro Morata got the first goal. So 1 out of 4.
Yeah.
I'd say it's better than 0 out of 4, but it doesn't matter. Mm. You either win or you lose here. Mm-hmm. There's no silver medal for finishing second, as a man once said in a film.
Ronnie Corbett, wasn't it?
Yes. Silver medal. Of course, if you do want to get involved, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Obviously, further T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18 to play. Do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Right, everybody, it's time for emails.
Hello.
Why have you given me this email? I used to train with a bloke who in his younger days had played as a goalkeeper at a decent level. He was the reserve keeper for a National League team, Peterborough, if I remember rightly, at one point. And during an away day, he was warming the bench when he had a bright idea. Just before half-time, he snuck it to the opposition dressing room where they had a pot of tea brewing for the players. He then shat in the teapot and made his way out of the dressing room. When the opposing team came out looking disappointed after the half, he made sure to ask them, "How was your tea? Was it shitty?" A true display of shithousery. I think that might be assault, lads.
Yeah, that's a crime.
I think that might be poisoning.
Yeah.
What a bad prick.
Bad prick.
Another email quickly. Luckily, we do have another one from Andrew Mayer. After seeing this, I have come to the realisation that my idol Cristiano Ronaldo Pos Pentos Penvero is a finished stat padder. Sadly, his Ballon d'Ors don't count and he has Mickey Mouse trophies. Sadly, he gets carried all the time because he's finished. I'm ashamed to be a Penal dog. So... Yeah, it's pretty conclusive from Andrew there, isn't it?
What time did he send that email?
I don't know.
We can only assume.
Right. Man's a fraud, isn't he?
Show at footballramble.com, everybody.
Oh, dear. Right then, let's go to Spain's group. They drew 1-1 with Poland. Alvaro Morata scored a goal.
Hey.
But he still got a lot of criticism.
Yeah, I'm so gutted for him.
I want to hug him, Jim.
I want to hug him as well.
He's got a hug off Luis Enrique. He got the goal and you thought to yourself, there you are, and then misses a chance when the penalty
You said that was fine. You said most strikers would do that.
I never said that. I said I think it was it came at him quickly and I think it was...
Boo.
Boo. The thing is, though, I think the problem is that he just sort of threw himself at it, didn't he? Mm. Like, it was like, I'll just chuck my body at this, and hopefully some of it will...
Yeah. But you're not expecting it to come back off the post, of course.
No.
And everyone's piling in. You think, I've got to be first there. So I don't think it's an absolute sitter. Obviously, you want him to do better, but I think it was a tricky one to take.
Yeah.
But
that
it is
a Pele, though, and it's in. So
exactly.
What are you excusing him for, Marcus?
And Pele was 4 when he won the European Championship. So, I understand it was a good chance, though. But I feel a bit sorry for him.
But the thing is, even good chance, hard chance, like regardless of how difficult or simple that is in that situation when you're a professional footballer. Mm-hmm. The sad thing is that this, because it's Alvaro Morata, that flips the narrative back on its head that he's not quite good enough, not quite up to it. Mm-hmm. And his record for Spain is really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously that doesn't always tell the story. And you know...
Harry Kane's record for England's really good.
But if the same thing had happened with Harry Kane, mm-hmm. we'd be having the same conversation.
I mean, to be fair...
But not to the same extremity, though.
At least Morata looked a bit lively.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I think with Spain, you know, Miguel Delaney wrote a great piece, as he often does in The Independent, and talked about Spain and the recent history of the side and saying how in Spain that they're just obsessed with trying to get goals in this team. I mean, even when you go back to the great sides, when they won the World Cup, it was very slow build up and it was sort of 1-0 and so on. Obviously, extremely effective. They won the bloody World Cup in between European Championship wins. But he talked about how David Villa was the one who would be the sort of the penetrating force up front to cut through and actually finish off moves and whatnot. And he said that at the moment that Spain fans are getting very, very restless about, we've got all the, I mean, look at some of the stats here. They have the highest XG of any team in the tournament, have made over 300 more passes than anyone else. And he said that they're reverting to this, well, this is what we know how to do. And in a weird way, it's like a more cultured and safer version that when England revert to long ball. It's a bit like that. People go, we're just passing it all the time. Now, obviously, if you've got the ball, they can't score, the old adage. So it's not a dreadful thing to revert to. But when you have 3 tournament wins in a row in recent history and so on, the expectations are there.
It looks like an echo of Spain, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's really strange to see. And obviously, I know they can't completely tear up the way they play and do something completely differently, especially because
Luis Enrique,
he is trying to do that. But yeah, I mean, he's... They are limited by the personnel, aren't they? Everyone's saying it, but like there isn't a via to finish it off. Morata doesn't play in that way, and they're not really trying to get
the expectation
to play in that
on him
way.
Is huge, and he's struggling with
but
that.
But they have been such a chore to watch, and I feel like it's a more extreme version of England, as you say again, because watching that England Scotland game like was really it was so drab and so demoralising. It made you think, oh God, we're basically out. We just don't know the details of it yet. When you look,
we're back,
like
Jim. That's what we are.
But with Spain, it's got to be similar, isn't it? It's like because their recent history is so brilliant that watching the team play such dull football has got to really suck the joy out of it for you.
Mm. Were you pleased for Chesney though?
Yeah,
he's been a bit derided. He's scored an own goal, which it's one of those harsh goals.
Yeah,
but it is an own goal technically. But you're reluctant to kind of put that at his feet. But you know, he gave a big old fist pump after the pen. Made a great save, smothered one, didn't he, towards the end? Mm. So pleasing for him. Also pleasing for Robert Lewandowski, Peter, who suddenly sort of sprung onto the scene, didn't he? Gave Aymeric Laporte just a little brush.
He just went, get the fuck off me. This is my town.
I mean, I think Rio Ferdinand, rightly so, went to town on Laporte. Yeah, right. Thanks. Because, like, what kind of defending is that?
Well, actually, like, he put his hand up afterwards. So I go, he touched me. Yeah. He's allowed to do that.
Yeah. Like, we're not playing badminton, son. I just thought to myself, like,
does that happen in badminton?
No,
like
I'm saying
another player will come on and push you over.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You know? Yeah.
This is unexpected.
This is a foul, but there's no rule.
But you know, football is a sort of semi-contact sport. You know, these things can happen, but. I couldn't believe how soft that was. The ball comes in the box, it's Lewandowski, and you just, do you know what? I won't challenge him. Okay, fair enough. He's got a hell of a leap on him as he showed, but I'll just try and win a foul. It's like, no, you're not Jack Grealish.
I think they did have, they really have clear cut opportunities to win the game, but whenever it looked like they might be able to spring a move.
Yeah.
They fell apart a little bit, didn't it? Danny Murphy describes it as jelly legs at one point, which I think probably aptly sums up what that feels like. They just didn't seem like they had the belief that they could string a proper move together to actually get a winner.
Well, I think with Poland, I think they've been quite poor actually. You know, against Slovakia,
I feel like we say this about them in every tournament.
Yeah,
you expect more.
I mean, 2016, what did they get to the quarterfinals? I think beaten on penalties by Portugal. You know, they looked a little bit better there, but that was 5 years ago now. Yeah. Mm. And I mean, they were delighted with the point, and you understand that you're in Spain. I mean, you're in the heat of southern Spain as well. Against a side who are superior to you, and they've got a point, and they're still alive, and they go and play Sweden. Well, they could beat Sweden, and then they've got the magic 4 points. You know, I forget the sort of permutations and whatnot, but they could win the group or at least finish second. So it could turn out to be okay for them, but they do look a little bit uninspiring.
Yeah,
but you get that point, and suddenly it gives everybody a lift, and especially for Lewandowski, you know, a striker's their currency is goals. Completely, you know, and also what that does for the team is you sort of think, oh, our main man, is he misfiring? Is he firing? Bloody hell, he's on.
Yeah.
Our main man's on. Right, let's supply him. It does give a huge boost there. And you saw the Polish fans in the crowd and the way they kind of applauded them and so on. So it will be very, very interesting to see. And
I enjoyed the tweet about Danny Murphy. Danny Murphy said that Torres isn't the quickest, and he is literally the quickest, the fastest centre-back in La Liga last season. It's like, fantastic.
Yeah.
Every time.
Speaking of speed, though, like if you're Spain and you're struggling for something...
Bring on Adama Traoré. Yes. You're going to do it as well, are you, Danny Murphy?
I am.
He might as well just be going, Premier League, Premier League, Premier League, Premier League.
No, but I'm not talking about the comment on Torres. I'm saying, though, that that if you needed something a bit different and there's not much happening, perhaps maybe I'm thinking more of the Sweden game or something. I thought we might see him.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It does seem too odd to not bring him on.
Yeah.
Especially, like, because... I mean, they spend so much time with build-up play there. It's just just knock it a bit longer and he'll probably get on the end of it. You say 5 minutes here.
And why is Cesc Fabregas not playing, Jim, as well?
I agree.
Oh, dear. Pete, you enjoying Paulo Sosa and his waistcoats?
I'd like any man in a waistcoat, to be quite frank.
Yes.
As long as they don't undo the bottom button, like an English oik.
That's not an oik. That would be from... back in the day. Henry VIII, I think.
Henry VIII, because you're so fat.
Yeah.
But who wants to look English? Like, who wants to dress like an English king?
Me.
You. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Well,
and eat a big turkey leg.
Prince Charles and me.
You wouldn't eat a big turkey leg. It's too fancy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm enjoying this.
I wouldn't.
You haven't got the character to be like Henry VIII.
Yeah, I really need to work on that character.
You do, you've only got one wife. Rubbish. One wife spells it.
He only had one at a time.
To be fair, yeah, true.
Oh dear. Did you see that Kasper Kozlovsky broke Jude Bellingham's record as the youngest ever player to appear at the European Championships?
Annoying.
Can we not have anything nice?
No. 6 days, I think. Yeah,
that was all we were going to take home.
That's all we were going to take home.
Yeah.
Oh, nuts. My goodness. Never mind.
Yeah, well, Group E is shaping up to be a big one, a big old final day. Sweden top, though, with 4 points. All to play for. Today, as we said earlier, we've got the 5 o'clock games. Italy v Wales, Switzerland v Turkey.
Come on, Wales!
Yeah, are Turkey going to suddenly, you know, click into place and be that dark horse?
It would be hard to see if Turkey could play any worse.
Yeah. Indeed.
Because they've been terrible.
They have been very, very terrible indeed. A draw would see Wales secure second place and face runner-up in Group B, which could be Finland, Russia or Denmark. I mean, I honestly think Wales will go further than England in this tournament.
Yeah, without doubt.
I do think that. But what's interesting is obviously they've got to go to Rome to play the Italians, who are having a lovely...
having a lovely time, and they never lose there.
Yeah.
And also...
They haven't conceded in an outrageous amount of games.
Absolute lightning up top now as well. And you know, like, people always talk about, you know, resting players in the third group game, but actually...
Sometimes not a good idea.
Exactly, because it kills momentum. Mm. Do you feel like Roberto Mancini is the type of guy that would risk losing momentum?
I do not. I don't either. There was much made of his chat when there was the comparison with Wales and Stoke.
Yeah.
Did you see it? But apparently that's not actually quite as clear cut, because I think he was asked, does it remind you of some of your trips into the Premier League to like the Midlands and all this kind of stuff? Mm. And he said, oh yeah, no. That's they were always really difficult places to go. I think Stoke beat his Manchester City a few times, or they were held there and stuff. Mm. So it's not actually him just plucking Stoke City his mind bank. But he did say he was asked if Italy had played their best football at Euro 2020. He said, "I don't know if we necessarily play the best football, but we're a group of good-looking lads for sure."
I mean, you can't deny that. I feel like Italy have become the people's choice.
Yeah.
We'd all love it if Italy won.
What if Mancini has an argument with himself and retires himself?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Imminently possible. Robert Page responded when told about Mancini's good-looking quote, and he said, "You don't doubt that. When you see him dressed on the touchline, he puts me to shame with my tracksuit." Yeah. If only he had a... I think Robert Page... But it's about the spirit of the camp and kind of getting it. And I think Page is... That's exactly the type of vibe that he's going for.
I'd love it if he's on the touchline in like a sort of Saturday Night Fever style suit today, though.
Really,
it's really got in his head. He's like, "All right, you know, we need to try and compete sartorially."
He's got a TK Maxx and bought like the only clothes in there are like got weird dimensions.
To be fair, though,
fat bum, short legs.
He's in Rome, though, isn't it? So it's probably impossible to buy a suit that isn't immaculate.
True, that's true. We should say that Giorgio Chiellini is out of this one with a muscle injury,
as is Sergio Giorgini.
Yeah. But we're looking forward to it. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's been a pleasure. On tomorrow's show, Kate is in the chair with you two bitches, Jim and Pete.
Steady. Oi. Steady, mate.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening, as we say. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Because you're not Henry VIII.
Thanks, everybody. See you at the feast.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.